song, like rainy night in Georgia and Kentucky rain. Here comes that rainy day feeling again. Blue eyes crying in the early morning rain. They go on and on, and there's no two the same. Oh, it would be easy to blame all these songs about rain.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U as we bring Brian into the conversation. Welcome to the broadcast. You're live on the air with Mr. John J. Harper.
All right, thanks. My mom and dad have a cabin up in Overgaard, and they passed away last year, so now I've acquired the chores up there at the house. We have some trees, pine trees up there that have been infected by the bark beetle and are now all brown needles and things like that. We got about four or five of those, I think. So there's a couple things I'm going to find out. One is, how do you properly get rid of those dead trees without spreading those beetles onto any other trees? And then two, how do we protect the trees that are still alive and kicking up there that haven't been infected or maybe be partially infected at this point?
Okay. Well, a number of things. Number one, the bark beetles are there and are always there. It's in periods of drought that their damage becomes manifested and is stressful and eventually can kill the trees. When the trees are getting plenty of moisture and they're growing and the sap is flowing actively, it fends off, in other words, the damage being done, or doesn't allow the damage to be done by the bark beetles that are living in the tree. So the sap kind of keeps them at bay, plugs them up, you know, that sort of thing. Doesn't allow them to do any damage or mitigates the damage that they can do. When we have periods of extended drought, particularly dry winters, that's when you start seeing the damage being done because the tree cannot battle the bark beetles by itself. So once a tree is severely impacted, then destroying the tree, to my understanding, is really your only option. And you see a number of things being done. When they were really, really bad, you know, in early 2000s probably?
Right.
You would see a lot of them get cut up, and they would pile them, and then they would cover those piles in black plastic or plastic and kind of solarize, and you know, the heat buildup would kill then any bark beetle or larva that were living in those trees. The other thing would be to just cut them up and haul them to a burn, you know, or some of the areas in the mountain communities have places that are set up to take green waste like trees, and they burn them. That's another option. There are some great resources on bark beetles that, you know, the forest office in Heber Overgaard could probably give you some great resources and even walk you through some of the techniques. There are some forestry employees in the Flagstaff area that I understand give a great presentation on that. You might see if there's any of those going on. Even the local nurseries, probably in Star Valley, Plant Fair Nursery, and in the Pine Top Lakeside area, Christopher's Gardens, could probably direct you to some resources from the county extension, different folks. I mean, this has been going on long enough now, and there's been enough damage that there's some people that have lots of good information on bark beetles. So I would probably take advantage of that.
Brian, we'll send you a link to a podcast. A couple years ago when we were broadcasting in Flagstaff for the home show they have there at the Superdome, Skydome, mm-hmm. Superdome's different part of the country. We had Mick Henry from Mick's Tree Service on, and we did nothing but talk about bark beetles for an hour. And it's like an encyclopedia, and it was incredible. I mean, we were talking about reproduction rate, how far they could fly to the next tree, the communication methods that they use to bring their I don't know. I don't remember if it's called a swarm of bark beetles or a flock of bark beetles or a whatever. But it was extremely fascinating, and just the education on how they work and live. Because like Jay said, they're always there, drought or no drought. So you've got them constantly. It's just how do you manage to keep them away, or
you're not going to keep them away, but reduce the impact of them. And there's some other folks that have told me they've taken select trees in their yard of their cabins and actually watered them enough to give them enough moisture when they're not getting enough rainfall. If you have water available, some cabin, subdivisions don't have the water to do that. But if that's an option, that certainly would help, I would think.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U as we move through our callers online. Diane is next, wants to talk about a Texas ebony. Good morning and welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning. I've been listening to you for years, and I am so glad that you're able to take my question about my Texas ebony. It's about 30 feet high. It's growing beautifully and flowering continually. I have developed allergies, and my dog has developed allergies to the little flowers. So we had the tree treated by, can I talk about the company or not?
Well,
we had the tree sprayed when it was in full bloom, and that seemed to take away the pods with that first bloom. Then it bloomed a second time, and we had the tree treated this time on its trunk. And then it's blooming again, and I'm trying to prevent the seed pods, which are a nuisance, and the flowers. I have a new dog who has also is allergic to the little flowers and chews on the little acorny things that come out of the seed pods.
So you're trying to prevent the tree from even blooming, which the only way to do that in my as far as I know, would be to actually use a growth retardant or a growth inhibitor as opposed to something like, an olive stop or a product that actually kind of shortens the length of the bloom or keeps the bloom from pollinating and setting the fruit. So if you're trying to eliminate pollen, you need to eliminate the flower. To eliminate the flower, you've got to interrupt the growth cycle of the plant and actually keep it from flowering. You can do that with, you'd have to have a professional do it, but you'd have to have some type of growth regulator or growth retardant put on the tree, and you've got to time it right so that it has enough time to work and keep that tree. The problem with that is it also keeps the tree from growing, and you can run into some problems with extended use of those types of chemicals and what they might do to the tree.
I have to empathize with her a little bit. You were talking about the bougainvillea. Something about the rain pattern in the last 12 to 18 months triggered the Texas ebony. I mean, the Texas ebony's in our front yard literally carpeted the entire front yard three separate times in the last 2 months.
Interesting.
I mean, a carpet of pollen 2 and 3 inches deep. They just went nuts. And beans, pods, by the millions.
Well, it could be something to do. It could be a defense mechanism or a survival mechanism with the droughty conditions, possibly, that's going on.
I've never lived through what they did to us this year. It was unbelievable.
You're under attack from the Texas ebonies.
And I don't know if it applies to Texas ebonies, but I know when Eisenhower will do an olive tree, he won't just go spray it. To do it right, he goes and trims it ahead of time because it's impossible to get as much coverage on it to prevent the entire olive stop.
Well, plus you eliminate a certain amount of wood that's going to produce flowers by doing that. So all of that certainly helps. So, yeah, maybe even trimming the ebony at certain times and timing it. It would probably be a good idea to have somebody like John Eisenhower come out, discuss the situation with him, and see if there's some type of methodology they can use to help you eliminate or at least slow it down a little bit. And maybe this year was just an anomaly, and it's just not going to be that bad. But
well, before we take our next call, I'm going to run through a few texts here that have come in. One, just a note, they said they used to keep ice with sawdust is how they kept the ice from melting back in the day.
Okay.
So somebody out there listening knows.
Insulator of some kind, sure.
Fig Tree in Casa Grande was wondering when to expect fruit. Mine's in full bloom. Well, can't eat it fast enough.
I was going to say, it's if it doesn't have fruit on it right now, you're not going to have any of that, right?
Next year.
Now is when it should be being harvested and full of figs, midsummer.
That is one of my indicator plants.
Oh yeah, they'll get wilty looking. Yeah,
right. I mean, and the orchard, if the figs.
If you got extra figs, call me. I'll come out.
Okay,
we'll take care of that.
I'll take some off your hands too.
Right, you two are right behind me.
Birded paradise. Is it a good time to trim? If not, when?
For talking to the desert varieties or arid varieties, no, they should be in full bloom right now, looking beautiful. You want to prune those in the wintertime, January.
All right, this is a long one. Our 12-year-old ornamental plum tree has died. We are slowly cutting away the branches, and we get down to the trunk. I've heard you talk about drilling holes in the trunk and pouring herbicide into the holes before removing the stump. Can you repeat that method, and was it herbicide or gasoline?
Well, definitely not gasoline.
I don't know that that was ever said on this program.
Yeah, I guess the question would be, are you going to want to replant in exactly that spot? Because certainly you wouldn't want to use gasoline if that were going to be the case. And number two, if you don't need to plant in that exact same spot, you don't really have to worry about getting rid of the stump. If the tree is dead, it's probably not going to resprout. So you could just cut it off flush with the ground. You would never see the stump. And generally, you can move a foot or two away on a tree like that that's not super huge and get another hole dug and replant a tree in the same general vicinity. So I don't think the method that we're talking about of killing a stump is usually used on when we cut a tree down that's alive.
And especially
we
want
to keep it from resprouting. Then we try. We want to use something to kill that tree from the stump down. In the case of a tree that's already dead, that really shouldn't be an issue.